First case is 03-765 and 766, State of Ohio versus Steve Chandler and Marjoni Tate. Ms. LaCourte, Ms. LeCount, excuse me.
May it please the court. The First District in Chandler and Tate demands what it calls literal compliance with Section 2919B5 of the revised code. Yet in doing so, it's caused quite a bit of confusion with the courts in Hamilton County. The state wants nothing more than to see compliance with not only that section, but with all of the sentencing statutes within the entire framework. Section 2919B5 is a notice requirement. There's no opposition with that. The defendant's brief, if I may read from that, Chandler and Tate submit that the plain language of the statute imposes a mandatory duty on the trial court to notify offenders of the possibility of a prison term for violating the terms of release. That statute is a notice requirement. The First District wants to focus on the strict construction, what it calls literal interpretation, yet it fails to construe the statute in its entirety. The statute that we're focusing on, the latter portion of the statute reads, the court shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as a sanction for the violation as selected by the court from the range of prison terms available for the offense pursuant to Section 2929.14b. The court focuses on the shall indicate language, a specific prison term. It leaves off the latter portion, shall indicate the prison term that may be imposed. The may is discretionary, that may be imposed, not will be imposed, may be imposed, as selected from the range. When you read that portion of the statute in conjunction with 2929.14b, that statute reads, if a prison term, that's the statute that once a prisoner or once a defendant has violated community control, then they're sentenced under 2929.14b. If a prison sentence is determined to be sentenced at that time, it shall not exceed the prison term specified in the notice provided at the sentencing hearing pursuant to 2929.19b5. That statute actually says b3. It's been determined through several decisions that that's erroneous. It's actually B5.
Well, counsel, you argue that it is sufficient if the trial court announces what the maximum penalty could be?
The maximum penalty, the range of penalties, the notice requirement is met if that offender is put on notice that he could or would receive the range of sentences. You could receive, sir, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, 12 months. Are you aware of that? Yes, Your Honor, I'm aware of that.
And that was done here?
That was done here. It was done, however, to be blunt, Your Honor, at the plea hearing, not the sentencing hearing. But that would be sufficient notice, yes. Are you aware that you could receive this range of sentences up to 12 months? Yes, Your Honor, I am aware. That is sufficient notice to an offender that he could receive that amount of time.
Don't you think it should be done again at the sentencing?
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
This statute was part of Senate Bill 2, as we know, which was a major reform in felony sentencing in Ohio. And one of the reasons for the reform was to insert truth in sentencing, because as you know, we had the previous law permitted judges to give a range of sentences, and then people went to prison, they never served the full sentence. And so the thrust of Senate Bill 2, which became law, was to say that the system, judges, and are going to tell persons who are going to be sentenced precisely what your sentence will be. Why does your reading of the statute not conflict with that purpose of Senate Bill 2?
Your Honor, if you read the statute literally and in strict compliance, strict construction, you can do that and yet maintain that that purpose of Senate Bill 2. You read the statute, the indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed. I may impose a prison term of 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, up to 12 months.
Doesn't the may just mean that the trial court has the authority if someone violates the community control sanctions? The trial judge then has the authority to impose a sentence. He or she may decide not to impose a sentence. Isn't that what the may is here? It's not that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But how does that, how should that modify specific? I mean, if we should, one reading would be that the trial judge may impose a sentence of a year, 1 year, if you violate the sanctions.
Right.
Why is that not a more accurate reading of the statute? Because that's a specific, then the defendant knows, if I violate my sanctions, my non-prison sanctions or jail sanctions, I'm going to go to jail for a year. I know that because the judge can send me to jail for a year. Why is that not more specific than saying, well, I may go to jail for 1 month, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months? That's not specific, is it?
Well, it is more specific, and that's in effect what happens. The court will tell you, you may go to jail for 1 year, and that's what they're doing. But the statute does require that they give the range of sentences available.
The statute requires this, to give
this,
a range?
This particular statute doesn't, but other statutes do require.
Don't the statute say the judge may select from a range of sentences?
Right, but in conjunction with some other statutes, a judge is required to give the range of sentences available. Not this particular statute, but in conjunction with others. This statute requires then to choose from that range and say, you may get. So in conjunction with the others, this one would say, and you may get, after he gives the range, you may get this sentence if you violate community control. You may get the full 12 months if you violate. Reading that in conjunction with 2929.15b, if the judge were required at that first sentencing hearing to say, okay, if you were to violate community control, not knowing what the violation would be, whether it's a jaywalking ticket or whether he goes out and commits a heinous crime, if he were required to choose some particular sentence, not knowing what the violation would be, using no discretion whatsoever, and choose a sentence on a community control violation before any violation were to occur, it makes no sense, first of all, because he doesn't even know what the violation is. Second, it would render the statutory scheme worthless, because in the 2929.15b, it then goes back and says to choose a community control violation based on 2929, the factors in 2929.14. It doesn't say go back and choose a sentence him based on the notice, sentence him to the prison term that you specified in the notice given at the sentencing hearing that you told him you were going to sentence him to. It says no, sentence him to the factors given in 2929.14. Why would the legislature create a second hearing upon a community control violation if they intended for this notice, this specific sentence, to be handed out way before a violation is ever even committed?
Okay, counsel, your argument is then if there's a violation of the terms of community control, that the next hearing, the judge is really weighing factors relating to the nature of the violation rather than assessing or assigning any thought to what the original offense was.
It's twofold. The statute does require him to weigh him or her weigh the initial, the statute does require to look at the underlying offense, but also the nature of the violation itself. That's a two-fold process at the community
control
violation.
And that's statutorily mandated?
Yes.
The way...
Not in these two statutes that we're talking about today, but yes, the judge then has a duty to look at the underlying offense as well as the violation, the nature of the violation, yes. And that's the reason there's a second hearing. If the judge were only required to look at the underlying offense, there would be no need for a second hearing upon a community control violation.
Wouldn't the judge need to determine there was, in fact, a violation?
Right, but there would be no need to, again, weigh the factors. There would be no need to go back to the sentencing factors. That part, you know, that would be completely redundant as far as the statutory scheme goes. And, you know, the legislature clearly intended for there to be a reweighing of the factors.
Well, the legislature also intended some discretion for the judge, because a judge, he or she, is not mandated to impose the sentence that was referenced at the original sentence hearing. They may continue them on community control. They may give additional conditions of that community control. So it's not an automatic incarceration pursuant to a range of possible incarcerations.
Exactly, and that's incorporated into my argument as well. That's part of my point. They have discretion, and that's why they're not required to give a specific, you will get this.
Well,
you might
sufficient,
get this.
Wouldn't it be sufficient for a judge to inform a defendant at the time of sentencing and the sentence of community control that I have the ability to sentence you up to a maximum of?
Yes.
Without having to specifically delineate every viable selection?
Yes. However, as the First District is holding now, that would not be sufficient in the First District. And I will point out that the way the First District is ruling right now, it's inconsistent with every other district. No other district is operating under this strict language as the First District is. Of all the cases cited...
Counselor, under the First District's ruling, then, if I were a judge and sentenced someone to, you know, violations, I will sentence you to a year of incarceration, which is the low end or the middle range. And as you said, something heinous is done by this violator. I locked myself in, and as a judge, I've taken away my discretion to tailor a incarceration to fit the circumstances of that defendant at the time they come before the court for sentencing.
Unless, as a judge in Hamilton County, you say you will receive and you plug in the maximum sentence upon a community control violation, your hands are tied.
I understand that.
But your hands...
How much time do I have left?
Hands are tied. That means 2 minutes. The white light means...
May I reserve?
I have a question. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you some extra time. But if a judge is sentencing someone to prison without community control, the judge is required to give a specific sentence. Is he not, or she? Wasn't that part of truth in sentencing?
Yes.
Not give these ranges like the judges used to do, and then the person goes to prison, they get out before the maximum of the range, almost always.
Yes.
So why is this language not consistent with that? This is just a replacement of the old sentencing where I'm going to sentence you to 1 to 2 years, but you're going to be on probation for X number of years or time. And the General Assembly changed that and said that we're going to require judges to say you're going to go to prison for a year or for 2 years, whatever it may be, 1 year, could be 2 years. And here, the judge is doing the same thing. The judge, when the judge decides what the sentence is going to be under point 19, the judge makes a determination that for the conduct that you've exhibited, I would sentence you to a year in prison. But instead of that, I'm going to give you community control and see how you do with community control. if you violate community control, the judge then has the option of invoking the sentence that he or she would have ordered but for the community control. And so the issue then becomes before the judge is, well, was the violation of the community control so severe that this person, there's no reason to keep the person on community control longer as the statute enables? Why is that not irrational? Why is that not a more reasonable interpretation of the statute?
Well, to answer your question, I know I'm out of time.
Yeah.
The reason that we're here is because that would make sense. The problem is it forces Hamilton County at this point it forces the judges to do exactly what Justice O'Connor said. You will get X sentence and plug in the max.
Everybody doesn't have community control, don't they? If somebody's going to prison without community control, the judge says you're going to prison for 2 years, period.
But it may not be the maximum.
Well, that doesn't matter. The truth in sentencing, whole idea of truth in sentencing was that the person knows exactly how long they're going to be in prison. Instead of these ranges, you're going to go for 2 to 5 years. The General Assembly changed that concept and said, judges, you have to sentence somebody for a specific period of time without community control being considered. That's why it seems to me that the specific language seems to track what the General Assembly wanted judges to do in every other instance.
Well, and if that's the case, then you know, perhaps that's what the legislature intended. Perhaps they should have been more clear in 29-29-19, and perhaps they should have said, inform the defendant that they will get the maximum sentence. Unfortunately, that's not the way it's written.
It may not be the maximum sentence. Why the maximum sentence?
Because that's, in effect, what judges are required to do to maintain any amount of discretion. In Hamilton County, that, in effect, is what a judge has to do to maintain discretion. That's not what the legislature wrote in the statute, but in Hamilton County, that's what a judge has to do to have any discretion. So,
in Hamilton County, they're reading the statute improperly.
Well, that's why we're here, because we're asking you for help, because there's no discretion in Hamilton County without saying you're going to get the max. And that's why we're here, and we're hoping that you can not only help us, but help the entire state, because no one in the state is doing it consistently or...
What is the rule of law you want us to write in this case?
I would like for you to write that 29-29-19 is a notice requirement. I believe that every district reads it differently. There are many districts that a judgment entry or a sentencing entry
we can say it's a notice requirement, but how do you want us to write it as it applies to this case for an outcome? What is it you're seeking?
In this case particularly, it's a notice requirement. Personally, I believe that I won't get into the other cases. I think an oral notice on the record should be mandatory.
At the time of sentencing?
At the time of sentencing. I think at a plea hearing, substantial compliance would be sufficient.
So you'd like the rule to be that either
at the plea hearing or at the sentencing hearing, because when a judge at the plea hearing goes through very, very thoroughly with the defendant. The defendant is on record giving his verbal acquiescence with an attorney at his side. I think that is sufficient at the plea hearing, just as it would be at the sentencing hearing. This is outside the bounds of this case, but I don't think a rubber stamp on a journal entry would be sufficient notice. Again,
okay.
That's not within the scope of this case. But I think if a judge has had a one-on-one conversation with a defendant, has given them verbal notice, that would satisfy the notice requirements of this statute.
Thank you.
That's what I'm asking this court to rule, and I think that would give proper guidance not only to Hamilton County but to the other districts in Ohio. Thank you.
Mr. Perkins.
Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Perkins on behalf of Marjani Tate. Also present is Ms. Chris McEvely on behalf of Mr. Chandler. I will be arguing the case today.
Perkins, before you get going, I'd like you to comment on your observation of what the end result has been of the First District's holding. It seems the prosecutor's office is indicating that the trial judges have looked at this and said, gee, to be safe, we'll just announce you get the max if you violate the terms of community control.
I would wholeheartedly disagree with that based on my experience. Since the Giles decision has come out, and my experience in the trial court is that when people are sentenced, it is done in accordance with Giles. The judge simply says, on the record, in every case, if you violate community control, my sentence is going to be X. And certainly I've had many cases where that X has not been a maximum sentence. For instance, a first time, a person that would be eligible maybe to go to the penitentiary for the first time, I've had judges indicate 1 year or the minimum sentence is what I'm going to send you, the whole range. And yes, there have been judges that have said the maximum, but I don't believe in any respect that the Hamilton County judges believe that they are somehow, their discretion is taken away at all. I think everything is working fine, at least from my experience in Hamilton County. It's not difficult to comply with the statute. The statute is clear. I don't think they could have made it much more clear.
But it isn't truth in sentencing, is it? Because if the judge says, I will sentence you if you violate community control to 1 year, the statute says, the way I read it, if the community control sanction is violated, the maximum sentence specified at the time the court imposed community control is the maximum that the court can later impose for a violation.
Correct.
So if the judge says, if you violate, I will sentence you to a term of 1 year, that judge could impose a term of 8 months, couldn't
exactly.
he? Or
exactly.
she.
And I think that
so therefore, it isn't exactly the truth. It's something less than whatever that term is.
Correct.
Which goes to Justice Pfeiffer's point. Why doesn't the maximum sentence, I'll sentence you to the maximum. That's the maximum the judge could impose, and the judge can always impose something less.
I suppose there's nothing that would stop a judge from doing that if that's what they wanted to do. But I think there...
That's compliance, though, isn't it, if the judge says the maximum?
I believe it would be in compliance if the judge did indicate, I'm going to sentence you to the maximum sentence in this case. And certainly then they would have... there would be two hurdles. At the sentencing hearing on the community control violation, I believe they still would have to meet the balancing factors and so forth of whether or not they're entitled to impose that maximum sentence. But certainly they would be...
Well, that's the maximum that they could impose.
Correct. Correct.
So what difference if there's a minimum? Say the minimum might be 6 months and the maximum might be 1 year. What harm, and isn't it more notice to the defendant, I will sentence you to a term of 6 months to 12 months if you violate community control. That's better notice to the defendant, isn't it?
It would be. But
does that violate the statute if the judge says I'll sentence you to a term of 6 months to 12 months then, in your view, or not?
I think it would not be in strict compliance with the statute to indicate that, because the statute clearly states the specific sentence to be imposed, and I think the word specific indicates that, yes, you are to advise them what that sentence is. And then if you look at the treaties from Katz, I think it makes it clear. It says that...
Well, wait a minute. Katz isn't the law.
Right, but it's interpreting it's certainly interpreting the law, and I think gives us some guidance in the case to say that, look, if you're complying with the statute, you say, if you violate community control, I'm going to sentence you to X. That becomes a benchmark then for the judge. The judge still has discretion. If the violation is for jaywalking or whatever, he can go wherever he believes is appropriate below that. But the defendant is put on notice that if he violates, whatever that judge said in court is the maximum that he's looking at. And I think that is eliminating cases where, for instance, in the Tate case, where, you know, the subject is given community control, and then at the first violation, he ends up with a seven-year sentence. Not once at the sentencing hearing did the judge even mention any time that could be imposed if you violate community control. The same in the Chandler case. It was never mentioned. If you violate community control, this is what you're going to get. And I think that is going to the notice requirement that the defendant is put on notice. I'm given a chance here. But the deal is, if I don't comply with what the judge has indicated, I'm going to go to jail, and I know my sentence is going to be 5 years.
Well, Counselor, there's a big difference between the judge not mentioning a potential sentence to be imposed upon a violation of community control and a judge giving the range. Now, my understanding of your argument is, and I think we all agree, if a judge is not going to apprise a defendant of a sentence that could be imposed for the underlying felony, you know, there's a big problem. But if the judge gives a range from the minimum to the maximum or maximum to the minimum, however they want to do it, you're still arguing that that is insufficient. You're equating that with not noticing them of the sentence at all as opposed to giving the range.
Not necessarily, and there's cases out there that have interpreted that if they gave a range, then that is notice.
So you're okay with that?
Yeah. Quite frankly, I'm fine with that. Even though the statute does say specific.
It's non-specific, and what your argument is, that would be sufficient compliance by the judge with the statute if the potentials were laid out for the defendant
at the time of the sentencing hearing.
Okay.
And on the facts specifically in this case, that was not the case. The only time any sentence was mentioned was the maximum sentence at the time the plea was entered, which in order for this court to reverse the decision in that case, it would have to hold that advising the defendant of the maximum sentence at the time of the plea is sufficient notice. That is a criminal rule 11 requires that. So that is going to be present in every single criminal case where a plea is taken. Otherwise, there's not a valid plea pursuant
Correct.
To criminal 11.
Correct.
So why would the legislature have written a statute that basically mimics that and says, okay, as long as you comply with criminal rule 11, you're okay? They didn't do that. They wrote a specific statute that says at the time that this individual is sentenced, and if you impose a sentence of community control, you are to advise them of the potential consequences and of a specific sentence that may, it shall indicate the specific prison that may be imposed. And I don't believe that may at all is any sort of problem or creates a conflict. Again, I believe the legislature is saying this creates a high watermark for the court to impose a sentence on, to put the defendant on notice. But he or she still has discretion to sentence them wherever within the guidelines that they believe is appropriate, as long as it is at or less than that watermark that was set at the time the individual was sentenced.
When a judge is sentencing someone on a crime for which community control is not available, may the trial judge sentence to a range, 5 to 7 years, for example, under the current law?
No, they have to pick a specific sentence and sentence them.
Why should the judge then not have to pick a specific, when the statute says specific, sentence?
I believe, to be in literal compliance with the statute, I believe that they certainly should.
The General Assembly used a word that's very easy to understand. I mean, specific means not a range. It means, particularly in view of truth in sentencing. I mean, that's a term that's thrown around, but that's what it was called.
Right.
Why should there be a difference when there's community sanction, which is a replacement for or a supplement to the old probation? Why should we interpret that statute, that word, differently in that statute than in that section of the code than we do in the other section of the code?
I don't think you should. I think
what you just said to answer the questions, that a range would be fine for you.
Well,
that was the
again,
old law.
I guess I'm it's a hypothetical situation, as if I was representing somebody on one of the other cases where that was the situation. I mean, I think the court should indicate, if you're writing a holding, that there should be literal compliance.
But that's, at that point, it's not a sentence. When I, as a judge, am imposing community control on a defendant, the sentence has not been imposed with regards to a potential violation of community control. In fact, is not the defendant brought back to the court for sentencing based on the community control? So it's an incomplete sentencing at the time the community control is allowed for the defendant.
Correct.
So there is no range, really, that is being imposed, because at the time when it's appropriate to impose an actual incarceration sentence, it's definitive. It is meted out by the court. It will be served by the defendant in an institution. And it is not, such as pre-Senate Bill 2 requirements, to be determined by a parole board on when an indefinite sentence was technically served. That was not up to the judge pre-Senate Bill 2.
Correct.
That was to the parole board decided when you had a range of a sentence, 1 to 5, when you satisfied the requirements of your incarceration. And that has totally been taken out of this sentencing structure.
Correct.
Okay.
Counsel, is Ms. LeCount correct in her analysis that the statute at the hearing on the violation of community control requires the or suggests the weighing of the nature of the violation in determining the imposition of sentence in conjunction with a look back to the violation that put the person in community control in the first place?
Correct. Correct.
So both are to be assessed.
Sure. Yes. Yes. I believe the thought process that would go on is that a judge sentencing somebody once they found guilty of it.
So then that does undermine somewhat your argument that a firm sentence needs to be imposed in the first place, doesn't it?
I don't believe it undermines it. I think it just creates a high range. Nothing
so
says
your,
that they can,
your,
they can go anywhere under
your view is
that the
crime for which the person is first in court, the judge needs to make a determination. Here's the outer limit of what you can serve in jail or prison, irrespective of what kind of violation you have of probation.
Correct.
This offense is only going to get you so much punishment.
Correct.
All right. What is the practical impact of our agreeing with you and writing an opinion that upholds the first district? What does that do to all the folks that are out there on community control where the judge did not pick a sentence, just announced here's the range that you could get, which presumably has been happening all over the state?
Correct.
So what happens to all those cases in case someone violates community control?
Then I believe that had they not complied with the statute and advised them of what that high water mark is, then they would not be able to sentence them to prison. They would have to either reinstate the community control and then comply with the statute and say, okay, if you violate, then this is what is going to happen to you.
Is there a practical way around that? In other words, is there a practical way? Because that seems a pretty bitter pill to swallow as well, that we, in other words, if we think you're right and you make a persuasive argument, is there anything that we can do in writing this opinion and agreeing with you that doesn't mean that there is essentially no control, no sanction, no prison sanction or jail sanction available to any of the folks that are out there on community control right now if they violate?
I certainly have not thought of that, and off the top of my head, I cannot think of a way in which the opinion could be structured in which that wouldn't be a possible consequence, because
you would be in arguing for all of your clients who are in that situation that you can't get jail.
I certainly would make sure. That argument.
Right.
And then not only is it the law of the first district, but now it's the law of the state of Ohio. And I think, you know, the first district made the correct decision, and I don't think there's been any havoc in the first district, you know, with them indicating that this is what the law. I've had several cases where we've gone back into court and the judge has simply said, you're going back on community control for this violation, but if you violate again, this is what the sentence is.
What do you mean you went back into court?
After it was reversed by the First District Court of Appeals, it was sent back for resentencing. after the judge had imposed a prison sentence that was not advised to them at the time that the person was sentenced.
So essentially, all those defendants get a free ride for their first violation.
They don't get a free ride.
They don't get any sentence imposed.
Taken advantage of the fact that the court did not comply with the statute. But certainly, again, that's not the defendant's fault. I think the statute's been clear, and while my experience is more so in the first district, I think the first district has certainly struggled with that question, beginning with certain dissents and opinion, and then becoming accepted as the decision for that entire first district. But it certainly hasn't wreaked havoc. And again, yes, sentences have been corrected in which that statute wasn't complied with. But I don't certainly see any sort of devastating result of this court affirming the decision in this case.
Could a trial court then bring a defendant back and resentence him to make certain that this oversight at the sentencing hearing, which was provided, the notice provided at the time of the plea, but not provided at the time of the sentence as to a maximum term, could that be redone while the individual is on community control?
I wouldn't see why not. Again, I can't.
Say it to me again.
I don't know why not. I would think it would have to come from, there would have to be some sort of order from the higher court indicating that it's to be remanded for a new sentencing hearing. And if that was the case, then certainly I believe the person could be, be resentenced to be in accordance with the law.
So if a trial court judge thought he or she were complying with the law at the time of the plea and told the defendant you could be incarcerated for violating this up to a period of 5 to 10 years, and then at the time of sentencing put the defendant on a period of community control, but neglected at that point to indicate violation could be a period of 10 years incarceration, that individual were still on community control, you think that the defendant could be brought back and the court could say, I want to make sure you understand your violation could result in incarceration for up to 10 years, and then that would cure this problem?
I don't know for sure if they could do that. I would think that there would have to be some sort of directive from a higher court remanding it back them with instructions to take care of that. I would not think that they could just sua sponte bring all the cases back in and reset.
So if hundreds of cases are sitting out there with the range in these other districts and we come down in your favor, all those judges have to wait for a violation to correct the record. They couldn't just bring the defendant in and correct the record.
I don't know the answer to that question. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. LeCount, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds. Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.